We're gonna hit the record button and start. Stone record button.
We out here.
Good gosh, I'm tired. Got a cat again.
Perry just out there, you know, picking up cats off the street and bringing them in the house, you know. So he does. He's just like, oh, you know, just need a little pussy in my life, so let me get this.
The fact that it is the same cat, though, is crazy, though. It's like, it was crazy because we're just walking up the street and all of a sudden it's like, I think that's Tater. Yeah, it sounds all right.
So is he here to stay or is he moving on?
I do know regardless, Isabella is going to get him fixed sometime this week.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Good call. And then, so you're going to have another conversation with you, but that's off air.
Fair enough.
Not about that one.
Okay.
Because like you said, like he's a good cat. He actually came in, you start hunting.
All right.
That's the first thing he did. Like, you went upstairs, you know, like you saw his tail wagging and just like, he was looking for something. I was like, oh shit.
There you go. Good. I put out a few traps, but I think some of the, there's a couple of little mice running around. They're too small to trigger the traps.
I thought I heard one like in the bag mm-hmm. up there.
Yeah.
And I kind of like moved the bag and it set the trap off.
Yeah.
I was like, did I catch it? I don't hear any squill or anything, so.
Yeah.
I just kind of left it alone.
That's fair.
But like, maybe we will get that.
Yeah, probably go ahead and just throw that bag out, but you know.
Yeah, I'll throw the bag out.
So what you been playing this week?
Oh, gosh. Are we actually doing a podcast these days? Right now you're getting podcast episode 225 on your podcast MC Perry. Today I'm Seth Stone. As we talk about cats and other cool shit. All
right.
Now if you're already doing every game, look at video games, it might be influential game community, talk to shit on the way, and occasionally, sometimes, maybe, not really, walk it back.
We don't really need to too often because we speak the truth.
Speak the truth, maybe a little bit.
Truth to power over here, right?
Yeah. Fight the power. With that being said, oh gosh, what have you been playing?
I mean, mainly just WoW, a little bit of Lightyear Frontier when I get a wild hair.
Helldivers too, right?
Yeah, picked up Helldivers. I played a little bit of that. And I'm kind of agreeing with your assessment of it. I think it's fun enough, but it's really fun with friends.
Yeah, it really is. You gotta have played that shit with friends.
Yeah, like you can just queue up with randoms and you can do shit or whatever, but it's like, eh, it's okay. But it's really the hijinks you get up to with your buddies. That makes it a good time, I think, mm-hmm. anyway.
Yeah.
Have you watched the Fallout series yet?
No, have you? Is it great? I think you were the one watching it.
I watched episode 1. I haven't watched the rest of it yet, because it looked like they dropped the whole thing all at once,
mm-hmm.
which I'm like, okay, I'm okay with this. Mm-hmm. I didn't have time to watch everything the other night, though, and I was super busy yesterday. But, you know, I liked it. I really enjoyed where they went, like, what they were doing with it. Because it doesn't retell the story of any of the games, so it's not like a direct adaptation. It's a story set in the Fallout universe, and I honestly think that's the best approach for the series. You know, I don't think that'll work with every property, but for Fallout, I think it works very well. Because each of the games are just so very different and set in very different places and don't really have a whole lot to do with each other except for like the deep lore, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think a TV show that just kind of does its own thing and just kind of uses the universe and, you know, as long as they kind of keep the same tone and this same sort of ideas, then I think they'll do just fine. And from what I saw, it seemed to be the case, you mm-hmm. know.
Apparently you got like a 9 out of 10 or something on IGN or something like that. It's just like hot.
I really liked it. I liked the first episode a lot. I was kind of curious how certain things were going to pan out, and then it surprised me in the best ways. Mm-hmm. Some of it was pretty predictable, like because you know they gotta be like, hey, we got this in here, and nudge nudge, wink wink.
Mm-hmm.
Like I guess minor spoiler. There's one of the main characters gets stabbed and then they have to go and run into a bathroom, and they open up like a med kit on the wall, and in it is a stim pack, and they like inject themselves with the stim pack, you know. I'm just like, I saw it coming from a mile away, but I was happy to see it. I think the sets are impeccable. I really like, they actually have a bit with the Brotherhood of Steel, and so you see like the power armor in there, which is awesome. You see the like the power armor like cranes that they have, that they, you know, you go and you work on your power armor and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot of those there. You know, the vertebirds, all that stuff, you know, it all looks great.
I can't wait to check it out.
Yeah. And I'm, you know, it, because of the show and like how it works, you know, it, you know, people watch Fallout and then they're like, man, I want to play Fallout again. So now a bunch of people have been playing like Fallout 76 and Fallout 3, Fallout New Vegas.
Apparently there's like a new update, we'll get into it. But oh gosh, I've been playing WoW, Lightyear Frontier, and a little bit of Helldivers. I need to check out the Fallout movie. I mean, show. They upped the release date, didn't they?
For
the show?
For the Fallout show, yeah.
Yeah, they upped it.
Yeah, they moved it forward as opposed to pushing it back.
That's greatness right there.
Yeah.
I love when games or shows are like that, they push things up. It's like, well, we're done, so.
Yeah, well, it's great, too, that they were able to. Because, you know, a lot of times stuff gets delayed because they need to polish it or work on something, or something doesn't quite work right. And it shows a lot of confidence whenever you say, yeah, we don't need the extra time. We could just push it up. And then you deliver. That's what I feel anyway. Because, you know, sometimes you get overconfident in your product and you push it up and it's like, it could fail. But They were, I guess, very confident in their product, and it came out pretty well, I thought.
Yeah. It reminds me of, like, Xenoblade Chronicles 3, because they're like, yeah, it's coming out in August. I was like, no, in September. And that's when they released another trailer, like, with at Nintendo Direct. Coming out this June. And I'm like,
yeah.
Wait. What? I've never seen, like, a video game push its date up so far, because they were just done, and it's already polished. Mm-hmm. It's one of a lot of people's favorite games of all time, so it's like,
there you go.
Like, huh? I did beat Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. This is my in-depth review of this game. Man, so bunch of tower stuff. It gives off that whole, let's say, Legend of Zelda type vibe, like where you have to go do assessments, like fight things, strengthening your materia to get more stuff of the world. That aspect seems like busy work, but it's also fun because it's rewarding because you get something in return. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, like, that type of stuff, you don't get anything in return. If that makes sense. Like, you don't get, like, return anything. This one is different compared to the first one because there's a lot more crafting involved.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, you can craft your high potions. You don't have to just buy them. You can craft the gear that you want, which is, I know you like crafting stuff, Stone, which is really cool, and it's not tedious whatsoever. So pretty much, if you do all the worldly stuff, then you get all the stuff you need.
Yeah.
Mini game galore. Oh my gosh, there was a mini game for like literally everything. Like from dolphin stuff to like chocobo racing to, one of the best things that came for this was the Gwent light game called Queen's Blood.
Yeah, their card game that they have built in.
Yeah.
Because every Final Fantasy game has to have a card game in it.
Yeah. Yeah, so with that being said, it's like, okay, cool. It's really, really, so we can have, what's it called? It comes off as there's an actual built-in story with the Queen's Blood game. Mm-hmm. There's like a side story and everything. It's really in-depth. It's a really fun game. It's the one that rivals Gwent more in a card game. I actually had a friend that messaged me yesterday, said that he's like, he's a pro already in Gwent. I'm like, it's a fun game. I really loved it.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of story, because this really feels like the middle game, where yep. there's a lot of issues that feels like they didn't need to do.
Mm.
But I had a really good time playing the game. in terms of like combat. The combat is not it can be rewarding. It makes you think. Like, you know, in the last one, you had to assess and like figure things out. That's cool and all, but like when you're wanting to play normal mode, or if you want to play normal mode, it's going to kind of a little tedious and difficult. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the game, for me personally, I dropped it down to easy because I just wanted to see the story.
Yeah.
And that's not a problem because it's like, well, you're that at the end. It's like, it's like 3 o'clock in the morning or something. Like, do you really want to like challenge yourself? You're kind of tired, or do you just want to see the story? Yeah. Like, I just want to see the story at this point.
Yeah.
So, and there's no fault in that. This game wants to make leaps and bounds and like changes, but it doesn't at the same time.
Mm.
It's not like the story itself made me. It made me like toss my controller.
Yeah.
Like on my bed.
Because you're just like, ah. This is kind of a letdown, or it's just not, it's not doing enough. It's afraid of its own.
It's afraid of its own thing, and yeah. Like some of the, like this decision making, it's like, well, if I use this person's ability more, then that's why I got to take them on the goat saucer date. I'm like, wait, what? I thought this was quest based, not storyline based, not synergy ability based. Because if that's the case, I didn't use half the party. I only use two people in the party because it's the old faithful Tifa and Aerith. So the fact of the matter is that, like, if my relationship changed, it's because I use them a lot. And we'll be right back.
Do that.
I mean, I did hit the record button, but that didn't make it on there. All right. I didn't make it on there. But to sum it up, it just doesn't, like, when it comes to Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, I just wish that they had to stick the landing in the internet game.
Mm.
And then my problem is, though, is that where this book game ended, mm-hmm. it's only the end of disc one. So the fact that that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot to do in the next game.
I mean, it's like I was telling you, Ed, I don't really remember disc three really having a whole hell of a lot on it, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like disc three was like, okay, here's the end.
Yeah.
You know?
But disc two for me, though, it's like,
this too is pretty chock-a-block cool, like, don't get me wrong, but like,
well, then yeah, the technology is different, so they could probably fit more onto a disc. And
well, I mean, I don't think it's really a concern with discs, it's about the storytelling process, right?
Because mm-hmm.
you basically split, you know, disc one into two games, which I think it makes a bit of sense because of the amount of detail you had at Midgar, basically, cool. From, yeah. You know, Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a huge city, and you basically just cannot reuse any of those assets. Like, everything has to be redone from the ground up as far as making, you know, this next game, Rebirth. But I think that the next game could be even bigger and better because they'll probably get to reuse a lot of stuff from the second game, or from the second game for the third game, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it could be bigger and better and maybe not take as long either. So.
Mm-hmm. But I can't wait to like see it. There were a lot of fan favorites that showed up in this. And mm-hmm. you didn't get to play as them. But it's okay, though.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Let's see. So what would we like to talk about? We talked about Fallout already.
Well, we talked about the TV show, but yeah. we didn't mention that Fallout 4 is getting a next-gen remake. Or next-gen update, rather.
Yeah. What, how do you feel about that?
I feel like it's timed with the show, like, specifically. I like the idea of the update. I've been actually waiting for the update because they announced it a while back.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I feel like they're doing it now to coincide with the show. So I'm kind of wonder if they pushed up the show to coincide with this next-gen update, is what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
They kind of get people back into playing Fallout again and engaging with the universe again.
People have, like, bought their game and re-downloaded the game because of the show.
Yeah. Well, I've been re-downloading it and playing it again recently, too, you know, just because I wanted to play it again before I even watched the show.
Yeah, to tell yourself that stuff and playing. So,
exactly.
Let's see. Xbox is working on a new console already.
Yeah. So we got this leaked whenever the trials were happening with Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of their like technical stuff was entered into the court documents, and those court documents got leaked because they weren't sealed properly. So we kind of had this rumor going around anyway about how they've been working on something. And they've said that it was during the most recent episode of the official Xbox podcast where Xbox President Sarah Bond addressed the new hardware and what to expect and when it's going to come out and everything. So they've like officially confirmed it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They did say that what we're focusing on there is delivering the largest technical leap you will have ever seen in a hardware generation, which makes it better for players and better for creators and the visions they're building. So that's a quote from Sarah Bond about the new system. So it seems interesting. It's a mid-life refresh. It's not like a new generation of console.
Mm-hmm.
So the Xbox Series X refresh is codenamed Brooklyn. Let's see. Brooklyn will deliver 4K Gen 9 console gaming. Interesting. Not sure what that means exactly.
Yeah, I have to look that up. Gen 9?
Yeah. I guess generation. I guess this is the ninth generation of gaming console.
Yeah.
No, I say that. You know.
When you say that loud, it makes more sense. Yeah.
So it's still this generation. It's just a more powerful version of the console, right? So apparently, we'll have faster Wi-Fi. We'll have reduced power consumption, a more immersive controller, whatever that means, and a beautiful redesign that elevates the all-digital experience for Xbox players. So it doesn't have a disc drive, so you know number two will be upset about that, I think.
Number two should be upset.
Yeah. It has more internal storage. It's at 2 terabytes now, as opposed to 1, I think, is the current one. I think it's just under 1.
Yeah, it's under 1 terabyte. Yeah.
A USB-C front port with power delivery for charging and connecting your controllers, I assume. And all new immersive controller, again, whatever the fuck that means, at the same great price of $499. Woo.
But that's in 2028 or something like that.
I think they said it was going to come out fall this year.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Because 2028, we'd be talking about like new gen, you know. But yeah, so it looks like there's some stuff under the hood, some specs here. Let's see. Yeah, so Wi-Fi 6 or better Wi-Fi throughput, 6mm die to shrink and improve efficiency. Yeah, reduce power supply, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like I wouldn't go out and buy a new one of these. The thing I don't, these are for like people who haven't bought an Xbox and want to buy an Xbox. I think
these are for the people that just win Xboxes through Taco Bell.
Yes, that's what these people are for. I don't know, the controller looks a little different here. Interesting. Apparently, you can lift to wake, so I guess when you pick it up, it knows that you're picking it up and it'll turn itself on.
Oh, that's actually kind of cool.
That seems neat. Yeah, you see. Da-da-da-da-da.
It looks kind of cool.
Switch and pair. New mobile app features so you can play on your phone. That's cool.
The way that looks, I know that, like, I don't know if these specs are real. Do good, feel good, adorable. Yeah. I don't like the design, if that's really what it looks like.
Okay with it. Apparently there's new modular thumbsticks. That's cool. You can, like, swap out your thumbsticks easier.
Can you just buy the controller for your current console?
Yeah. I would assume so. Because again, this isn't like a new generation Xbox controller. This is a mid-generation refresh. This is just like an updated version of the controller, you know?
Yeah.
But again, like I said, I've said this a few times. I don't get doing a mid-console or mid-cycle refresh for this generation. For the last generation, the Xbox One and the PS4, it made a lot of sense to have the Xbox One X and the PS4 Pro. Those devices added features that you couldn't do on the base consoles, right? So they allowed you to do 4K gaming, you know, like that wasn't a thing on the base PS4 and the base Xbox One, mm-hmm. right? But with these, like, you don't really get any new technology per se. Like, I mean, sure, you get Wi-Fi 6, which is cool and all, but you know how many people have Wi-Fi 6 routers even? Like,
yeah.
I mean, we do, but you know, like. I don't know. I don't know who this is for, really. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, it's like,
like, it seems cool and all, but it's like, why?
Our infrastructure's not that great for that yet.
Yeah, because it is an all-digital console, right? So it's kind of made to, you know, buy games digitally, store them, and stream them as well. So, I guess they're kind of stepping in that direction, maybe, with this. But again, like I said, I don't know who this console's for. Because if you're an Xbox fan, you already have an Xbox. If you don't have an Xbox, then, you know, sure, buy the new one. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's, I don't see what the big deal is. Like, I think the Series S refresh is getting a bit more, like, RAM and such.
Yeah.
To kind of help it out a little bit, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you have an old Series S, then, you know, maybe look into getting a new one. Or getting one of the new Series X's, I guess. Because I think that the Series S was kind of a failed experiment myself.
The which one?
The Series S.
Yeah, Series S, because... I don't know. Some people just think that console itself is, like, withholding the entire generation.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't disagree with that, I think. I think that Microsoft's insistence on having this lower-powered console... like, I get it. I like the idea of it. I think that it'd be, you know, good as like a 1080p console or, you know, even some light 1440p stuff. But they insist on developers, you know, developing for that. So if they make a game for Xbox, it has to work on both the Xbox Series S and the Series X. And I think you could do that if the Series S was a 1080p console. But it just doesn't have the specs to run all these modern games at 1440p. It just can't handle it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's supposed to be able to. And so I think that's the hang-up, right?
Mm-hmm.
So.
That's cool. Yeah, so, coming out this October. To a theater near you.
Yeah, to a home theater near you.
To a home theater near you. Apparently we're going to roguelike Prince of Persia game.
Yeah, The Rogue. So this is a new Prince of Persia title from Dead Cells developer that is apparently launching in May. So I guess they were partnered with Ubisoft to create this new title.
Are you going to check it out?
You know, probably not. You know, it's a 2D action platformer.
Is it 2D that messes with you?
Yeah, I just don't care for 2D, you know what I mean? Like, I don't mind isometric games and stuff, but, you know, where it's like 2.5D. But, I don't know, just 2D games is just, I don't like them. I don't like them anymore, you know? It's a personal thing. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But it does look like a cool game. I think it's really neat to let indie devs play with, like, major IP from big publishers and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think it's really cool. I like their take on the prints here. I like the aesthetic of the game. I think it seems really cool. But, you know, we'll see how everything pans out. I think this game was unveiled as part of the III Initiative Showcase that happened this past Wednesday, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I think the... You know, I hadn't really heard about this before, the III Initiative, but I think it's really cool because it's all about, you know, indie devs being cool and creative and doing indie dev things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, trying to compare, you know, their games to big AAA games, even though they're from, you know, small developers, small studios, you know, showing that they can make incredible games as well, right?
Mm-hmm. So, like, I just looked at the trailer. It looks really cool.
Oh, yeah.
It looks really cool. So, the next one I want to talk about, you see the Star Wars Outlaws trailer?
Yeah, I watched it.
What'd you think?
I got some Uncanny Valley vibes from a lot of their human characters.
Really?
I thought it looked really beautiful. I think the settings are there, and like the robots and the ships, it all looks really good. I don't know. I just kind of, every time a human character came on screen, I'm just like, you look weird.
Every time I get on the screen, I didn't think I was screen. I was like, this is definitely a Ubisoft game.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know. I mean, it sounds really cool. I like the idea of the Outlaw game. For sure. I thought the gameplay looked a little rough, though, myself. And, like I said, I think it kind of steps into that Uncanny Valley a little bit with some of their characters, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, it's a little unsettling there, I guess. Or just, I don't know, didn't look right, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, what do you think? What do you think?
I thought the game looked cool. I'm not happy with the pre-orders, though.
Yeah.
You hear about that?
No.
So there's a mission or whatnot that's locked to the Ultimate Edition of the game.
Yeah.
So it's like $130 or $120.
Well, I mean, they've done shit like that before, Ubisoft specifically.
Ubisoft is garbage for shit like that.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm not buying it. That makes me not want to buy the game a little bit.
Yeah, it is kind of a thing. I don't know. It's.
When's that game coming out? August 30th. That's right.
Yeah.
I'm going to play it, though. That's the thing. It's a Star Wars game. There's no Jedi in it whatsoever. It's just like a. The other side of Star Wars.
Yeah. It's the people that aren't force sensitive or not force users, right? It's all the criminal underbelly and outlaws and stuff like that. And I think it's a really cool take. I like it, and I'm here for it, and I want to play it. And I, you know, we had talked about doing a like a D&D Star Wars campaign that was similar to that a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of the idea. It's like, you know, we're gonna be, you know, bounty hunters set in the High Republic or whatever, and it's like that's kind of what this is, right?
Mm-hmm. I am excited for the Acolyte.
Yeah, the Acolyte seems cool. I definitely want to check that out.
Definitely not Revan. Not Revan. And actually, when they especially when someone explained to me what KOTOR was about, that yeah, you don't ever actually play as Revan. I'm like, wait, what? But yeah, no, he's the main character, but you don't play as him. No, fuck off then. you tell me he's the main character. And I don't get to play as his ass.
Oh, so I never played KOTOR, but from my understanding, you played as Revan, but he wasn't Revan. He like had lost his memories or something. That's what I was understanding about the game, but maybe I'm wrong.
Apparently, they like split his mind or some shit. He became a he was a Jedi that came Sith and became a Jedi again or some shit.
Yeah,
I don't know. Some psychological bullshit happened to Revan. Oh no, I just played normal KOTOR. Just play as Revan. Because, like, based off that footage that you're watching, I'm like, you don't actually get a saber until later on. I'm like, oh, so you're not a Jedi or anything like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, anyways, Helldivers 2 is outselling Spider-Man 2 in the United Kingdom.
Join the fight.
Join the fight. It is a fun game, though.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think it's a good game. I really enjoyed it, you know, and it's a lot of game for $40.
A lot for 40. It didn't even feel like it was only for $40.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it also has, like, the season passes or whatever, the battle passes
mm-hmm.
to supplement itself.
I didn't even, like, use the battle pass, though. No point.
Apparently, it's leading in physical and digital sales in the UK.
Great game.
Love to see it.
Love to see it. Like I said, I haven't played it in like 2 weeks. That is not a game I play by myself. Has George or anybody else played with you or anything like that?
George and I played whenever I first bought the game, but we haven't played again since because I just haven't had time. So I haven't hit anybody up about it.
Mm-hmm.
Been too busy with doing stuff in WoW that I've been putting off.
Wow.
Yeah. We're getting kind of sweaty and we're going to go in fully buffed on Wednesday and just smash the raid.
Getting sweaty.
We're going to get real sweaty.
Mm. EA Iron Man game is still in development. How do you feel about that?
I mean, I want to play an Iron Man game. I think it'd be cool.
Not the VR game either.
Not the VR game.
I don't know how I feel about like EA's making it though.
I mean, I don't really like care for EA either, so.
Well, you didn't like Jedi Order, did you?
I think it was fine. I don't know, the whole Metroidvania thing kind of threw me off a little bit, and I didn't play the second one. What's it called?
Survivor.
Survivor, yeah.
I still don't know how they got away making that damn game. That's just me though.
Yeah.
Like I haven't beaten it, but I'm just like I don't know how they got away with it.
Yeah.
Because like combat is not fun.
That's unfortunate.
Like, and I mean like all the combat's the same.
Mm-hmm.
Even as a double lightsaber user, same. All of it same. And so there's no like in-depth move selections.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm part of it, the actual dueling and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. That's unfortunate. Yeah. The game, I don't know. The Iron Man game, apparently it's been still considered an important priority by EA. And it continues to go well, but I guess they have been making excellent progress and haven't really announced anything substantial just yet.
Who's the developer behind it though? Motive Studios.
Yeah, Motive.
So it's not Respawn. No, Respawn making it. I'm like, all right, I wouldn't be too mad about it, because they know how to put out somewhat good games. I don't know, some people really like Cal Kestis, and like, I can't blame him for liking a character, mm-hmm. Star Wars character. His saber's not fun to use, though, by the way. Like, his actual lightsaber in real life.
Oh, yeah.
It's heavy as hell, bro.
That sucks.
Heavy as hell. So, like, you know how I'm going to C2E2 in a couple weeks? I was like, yeah, I gotta go in the vendor hall to, like, you go see Brandon Sanderson. And Isabella was like, damn, I'm not going to the vendor hall this time. I'm like, I'm going to the vendor hall. She's like, why are you going to the vendor hall? I'm like, because that's where Brandon Sanderson is. She's like, fuck you, Perry. No.
That's what you get.
Sorry. It'd be worth it. Death Space 2 remake, no, not happening.
Yeah. Well, the story that was going around, was that EA killed a Dead Space 2 remake that was in development. But Jason Schreier has come out, and some people from the EA Motive, the development studio for Dead Space, came out and talked about it, and they said that there's no validity to that story. There was never any intention to make a Dead Space 2. Apparently, Dead Space remake fell short of internal milestones. So they kind of kicked around some ideas about how it would look if they did it, and it never got off the ground. So apparently that is not a thing. EA did not kill the game.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the one thing that EA did not kill this week.
Really, that's in for another. It has nothing to do with Dead Space. Yeah, that's a...
Well, I mean, we just talked about it. They're working on Iron Man, if for one thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I mean they're busy, they've got other projects going on, you know, so they're not doing nothing, but they're not working on a Dead Space 2 at this time.
There was something I did want to report from Jason Schreier. It comes from Twitter. I saw it, he posted it on like April 4th. It said, this new Twitter account has been getting a lot of attention recently. in the world of gaming rumors, but I can confirm that several of its claims are false, such as, and like what the person, these people claim is like, in terms of communication, PlayStation has changed, now making game announcements up to a maximum of 2 years before their release, depending on their importance. That sounds weird. And then another tweet that they said is, Sucker Punch's new game was supposed to be announced last year, but something changed. Its announcement should happen in the coming months.
Yeah.
It's like, so, like, just saying Jason Schreier knows what he's talking about.
Well, there you go.
Because it's like, it's true, though, like, maximum of 2 years, and then depending on their importance of the game. Well, isn't every game important? No. You know? But then again, you want more Fallout stuff, though.
I mean, yeah.
You want more Bethesda mic drop stuff.
That's what I would like. I mean, I don't know. I can't stay hyped for a game forever, and I feel like if you announce a game too early, then you just let people build up ridiculous expectations of what the game should or could be, right? So I just feel like, I don't know, I feel like, let me know that a game's coming out, like, just do what Bethesda did with Fallout 4. Be like, hey, it's June. By the way, Fallout 4 is coming out in November. You know? Like, fuck, that's 5 months, 6 months away, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's perfect. That's what I want. That's what I want for every game. Tell me a game's coming out in like 6 months, and I'll be hyped for it. Okay. And I can stay hyped for it.
That's all you need.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully we get more games like that. Oh, well, I guess we kind of got that in like Dead Island. No, actually, that game was hyped up years ago.
Yeah.
Let's see. Immortals of Aegon staff update. They got, most of it got laid off.
Yeah, well, they're furloughed, not laid off.
Difference?
Slight difference. So, if you're furloughed, you are still technically retained by the company. You're just not working right now. So, they haven't, like, if you lay people off, then that means that you don't have a position to come back to.
Yeah.
But if you're furloughed, then you have a position still at the company. They just don't have any work right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. That's, it's unfortunate. You know, thoughts and prayers go out to the, you know, people that are furloughed and laid off and, you know, not working right now. And especially all throughout the gaming industry, it's been a lot of layoffs, and a lot of people have been, you know, suddenly found and without work to do, or, you know, money coming in to pay their bills, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so the Ascendant Studios is the ones that put out Immortals of Aegon. And that game came out last year to lackluster sales. And the game is now currently one of the free games for PlayStation this month.
Yeah, I went ahead and like added that to my library. Is that one of the games that you wanted to check out?
I kind of am, I'm like a, I got like a morbid curiosity with it, really. It's just like, yeah, I kind of want to check it out, but yeah, I probably will, you know, now that it's, you know, free on PlayStation. So
it's like, it's the free game, the money. Well,
man, as well. But yeah, so unfortunate for them. I guess they don't have any work in the pipeline right this minute, or low on money or something, low on funds, so they're laying people off.
Okay.
Furloughing them, I guess.
That sounds awesome.
And then, you know, we're starting to see more studios band together and unionize as well. The Just Cause developer, Avalanche Studios, has committed to a collective bargaining agreement with Swedish unions for their workers. Although the signing itself won't happen for another year.
Mm-hmm.
Happens a lot. Whenever companies are starting to talk with unions, they kind of push shit off and delay shit. You know, it takes a while for this stuff to go through and get, like, fully recognized and realized, I guess. But apparently they're working on it, so Avalanche Studio might be unionized for too long. So
might as well, right?
That's, I mean, that's how you prevent shit like what's been happening in the gaming industry is you band together and you tell the studios that they need to shape the fuck up or ship the fuck out. You know, because enough is enough, right? We've had, what, over 10,000 people being laid off in the past four or five months?
3 months? I'm going to say it like that.
Yeah, it's been happening since the end of last year, too.
So yeah, but like I said,
it's been
like,
a while.
But I'm just meant like, in this in 2024 alone, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, good gosh.
Well, unionizing won't prevent that, but it will go a long way towards preventing it and also giving you some protections in case it does happen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because companies don't give a fuck about you.
No. Nope. Right? Corporates don't really care.
So support your local union.
Support your local union. Let's see, what else we got here? Epic Mickey Talk, apparently.
The most anti-union.
What? Disney.
Come full circle here.
Come full circle. We go from talking about that to Disney. Rebirth is a full circle moment for the game's original narrative.
Yep.
Disney Epic Rebirth gives Warner Spector's version of Mickey Mouse game a much-needed new coat of paint, allowing the game not forgetting the past to live on.
Yep. So the game Epic Mickey released 14 years ago, and it is currently exclusively available for the Nintendo Wii, right? So it's stuck at a 480p resolution, you know, using the motion controls, everything, right? So you can play it on like a Wii U or a Wii, but you need a physical copy of the game to do so. So if you want to play this game, that's the only way to legally do it, you know, other than using some emulators that we won't talk about.
This game's coming to the Switch.
Do what?
This game's coming to the Switch.
Well, it's coming to the Switch.
Yeah.
Right? In this rebrushed remake.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not out just yet, but that's currently the only way to experience the game.
Right? Like, so the fact that it's coming, you get to experience it, and shortly.
Right. But yeah, I mean, it looks really good. It's got updated visuals. You know, it's brought to a more modern hardware. So, I think it'll definitely be good for fans of the game and, you know, people who haven't played it before and want to check it out, right?
I want to check it out. I've always wanted to play it. Oh, the game looks cool, but I never actually played it when I was a kid and I had a Wii.
According to the author of this article that we're reading from, he's had some hands-on time with Epic Mickey Rebrushed, and it's very much a one-to-one remake of the original game. With all of its assets faithfully recreated to match. Okay. So that's from author Kurt Indovina? From GameSpot.
Yeah. Give it a bit.
In other news, we've got a R-rated TMNT movie based on The Last Ronin in the works.
Can't wait, right?
Yeah, I've heard a bit of rumor about this, but I guess they're officially announcing it, and it's like...
T-U-R-C-L-E power.
Yeah.
It's rated R, though. Like, man, I feel like some people are going to be upset. Like, the kids are going to go, like, this isn't Turtle movie. This is the Turtles.
Well, that's what The Last Ronin is. Brutal, though. Like, it needs to be rated R. Because, I mean... It's just the basis for the fucking story is it's the last turtle surviving, and it's, you know, the other three, you know...
Dying.
The other three died.
And you don't know which one it is.
Well, you don't throughout the series. I mean, they, you know, it's completed now. Last Ronin is completed now, so people know who the Last Ronin is in the comic book, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the show might do something different.
Oh, it's in the movie. In the movie.
Or the movie might do something different. Who knows? But, you know, I think it needs to be rated R because it's a dark and gritty story, you know, and it needs to have that leeway to do what it needs to do and to tell the story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and not everything needs to be a dark and gritty story. We can have fun and be lighthearted and do fun things, but also, you know... When it's time to take the gloves off, you gotta take the gloves off.
Especially this. I know, like, no kids should be watching it, though. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, like, I know this one in particular, like, you need a... Gloves gotta come off for this. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Final Fantasy VII Remake is getting a board game later this year. I don't know actually what it entails, but...
Materia Hunter.
Is that what it is?
That's what it's called. Final Fantasy VII Remake Materia Hunter. Board game.
Board game.
Yeah.
Upper grabs including Cloud Tifa, blah, blah, blah. Matches are fast, running from 20 to 30 minutes. Remember that this item is selling out fast. The game itself, it sounds plenty interesting as it's a competitive tier designed for up to four players. It will be split into teams 1v1 or 2v2 as you jump into the shoes of Iconic Savage and battle to collect the most material.
Interesting.
Yeah, this game's already, it's already sold out. How does a pre-order sell out, though?
Like this.
Yeah, I just went to the website right now. It's sold out. Okay, I'll keep that in mind to get Materia Hunter. If games are that fast, though, 20 to 30 minutes.
That's nice. You know, sometimes you get a board game set up and it takes hours and you're just like, all right, come on.
Fucking
yeah. It's like, this was fun at first, but like, all right, we need to move this along, right?
I thought about like coming down here one day and like actually just playing The Witcher. Because mm-hmm. you can be played solo, so.
Yeah.
So just see what it's like. Might take it over to like Taylor's or something. He would get a kick out of it. Okay. Let's see, where's it at? Final Nation Freddy's getting a movie next year.
That'd be cool. And the first one did pretty well by all accounts.
By fans.
Yeah.
But in terms of like actual movie, yeah. I watched that movie four times. I'm like, guys, this ain't great, you know?
Yeah.
Taylor, one time, he said, well, we're watching Final Fantasy Freddy's again. I'm like, why? He's like, oh, I didn't pay attention the first time. I'm like, what the fuck, dude?
Yeah, apparently it did some really good numbers at the box office, even though it also came out on Peacock streaming the same day.
Yeah. Like I said, in terms of fans and, like, kids or whatnot, Five Nights at Freddy's is a pretty big freaking, what's it called?
It's got a big following. A lot of people will like it.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of popular streamers play it, and a lot of people watch them, mm-hmm. you know? And I think a few of those streamers were actually in the movie, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. YouTubers and streamers and stuff like that.
Were in the movie?
Yeah. Like Matt Pat, for instance, from Game Theory.
Mm-hmm.
He's in there.
Hmm. When? I don't know.
He's got like a bit part, as far as I'm aware, though. But yeah. I haven't actually watched it. I've heard him talk about it, that he was in it.
I don't know what a second movie will look like. I don't understand lore.
Well, I mean, there are like... There are a lot of different, like, stores, basically, right? That have the same sort of animatronics come to life, you know?
Well, I think what the crazy thing is that, like... It's based off the comics and not the games. I'm like, well, the games came out first, but you know.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe the games, while they have found incredible success, I didn't really have, I guess, too much of a story to start with. And I think it was kind of, you know, revealed as the game went on, all the deep lore and everything. But I feel like the comics probably condensed it all into like a more legible story format, I guess. So they probably just based it off of that because the games themselves don't really lend themselves to the storytelling process, yeah. I don't think, anyway.
Yeah. Which makes sense.
Yeah.
Let's see. WoW Leveling. It says it's going to be fun with the next update or something. Did you see this?
Yeah. This is for the retail version of the game or the current, mm-hmm. Latest version of the game and everything. This isn't for WoW Classic. But apparently they're doing a Mists of Pandaria expansion remix. Not really sure what that is. I know that in the current version of WoW, you can kind of pick an expansion, basically, and you can level up through that expansion and go from, like, 1 to 60 or whatever the level cap is now. Because it was really high, and I think they did a squish. And I think the current level cap is 60 or 70 or something.
Which makes more sense.
Yeah, apparently there will be new items and new power progression systems that will make the experience feel new, even though it's an older expansion. So, you know, which Mist of Pandaria is the expansion that came out after Cataclysm, and Cataclysm is the expansion that is about to launch into WoW Classic. And it's only going to last a year, so this time next year we'll be talking about Mist of Pandaria in WoW Classic.
Gonna get a panda!
Yeah. By all accounts, the pandas are dumb and do dumb things.
Like, as in good, but dumb things?
Or? Yes, as in, like, broken.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you play as a panda one time?
No, I stopped playing during, like, at the very beginning of Cataclysm, whenever I stopped. So I'm going to check out Cataclysm this time around, we'll see how it goes, and then maybe I'll stick around for panda time. From what I've heard, Mist of Pandaria, basically, like, every class is just super broken, and they do broken things a lot. So, I mean, I guess that's fun. You know, if every class is broken, nobody's broken, right?
So. Yeah. Nobody's broken. Okay, let's see. What else we got here? Borderlands movie update. Must be an experience.
It's aiming for the film to be as magical as Star Wars and Indiana Jones.
So you want a Lucasfilm?
Apparently. That's the goal.
Look, this is just to be a Lucasfilm. Gotcha. Gotcha, gotcha, gotcha. Well, the cast that they have on that fucking that show movie, it better be.
Yeah, yeah. They got Kevin Hart and Kate Blanchett. You know, some big, big talent there, right? So. I mean, I watched the trailer and I think it looks interesting. I think that they kind of, it looks like they're basically doing like some version of Borderlands 2, which is the popular one anyway.
Borderlands 2 is awesome.
Yeah. So, we'll see how it all pans out. They got the fan favorite characters in there, you know, because they got Roland and Lilith, which are like the most popular characters in the first game. And then they've got Tiny Tina, which is the most popular character of the series, I think. You know, along with Krieg the Psycho, because, you know, Krieg.
Krieg. Borderlands 2 is such the best badass game.
Yo,
I love Borderlands 2.
Oh yeah, I forgot. And Jack Black has an R-rated R2-D2 in Claptrap.
Who? Jack Black?
Jack Black is voicing Claptrap, yeah.
Oh gosh. Is this just like Kevin Hart and Jack Black like just working together?
Yeah, probably. I mean, that's how shit works, right? You work on a movie once together and you're like, yeah, we should do more shit like that. Then they do. And it's awesome.
Dwayne Johnson looking at
that's right. I kind of want him to like just show up like as a cameo in the movie because he's, you know, pretty good friends with Kevin Hart.
I'm getting on her edge. Yeah. I was like, just show up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, WrestleMania was last Sunday. That shit was crazy. And... Wow. The wrestling train is over. Man. Oh, man. Sorry about that, guys. That's all for today. You watch anything good right now, though? I started watching Free Run.
Free Run is probably the best anime that was out last season. Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah. It's, yeah. Easily the best anime that was airing at that time, for sure. It's actually interesting. Free Run actually has a higher rating on my anime list now than Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood does. And Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood has held that spot for like 10 years.
Yeah.
And hasn't moved. But Free Run Beyond Journey's End is like chef's kiss anime. Like, it is so good.
Because it gets to the point like where it's more action-based too.
Yeah. It definitely has, like, it has its quiet moments where it lets the characters be characters and it kind of is more introspective into their relationships with themselves, other people around them, the people that they've met in the past. But then there's also, like, these really cool action scenes that come up and it's all beautifully animated and just, like, it looks incredible.
Yeah.
And, you know, by all accounts, it looks way better than anything in the manga ever did. So, kind of wild, especially like there's like some scenes where they fucking go ham on the animation, and it's like little bullshit too, like the watch their clothes, like how they animate their clothes, like whenever Stark fights the dragon,
yeah,
and like that whole scene is incredible, but watch his coat in that scene because it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, I can make an argument that Solo Leveling was pretty good too, though.
I liked Solo Leveling. I thought it was good. I thought it was well done. It definitely pays homage to the original series. The fight scene at the end of that one is like fucking nuts. Yeah. And I'm like, yes, this is what I saw when I read the manga.
Oh, so you did read
Solo Leveling? Yeah, I read the manhwa for Solo Leveling, yeah.
So is it over?
Yeah.
Solo Leveling is over.
Yeah, Solo Leveling is over.
Fuck, dude. Yeah, I hate that so much.
Well, it has like 160 chapters.
But I hate it so much because I'm thinking like I can go read it and catch up and all that. Nope, it's over.
Yeah, so you can go read the whole thing. You want to.
It's a webtoon too, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
But they really take advantage of the manhwa format because I don't know if you've read many of them. Manhwa's, it's Korean manga basically, right? But it's a little different stylistically because it's especially with the webtoon ones, because it's one long page basically. You scroll up and read the story as it goes. So the Solo Leveling really takes advantage of that format and how like their art matches that format style, right? So like they have like these really incredible fucking scenes that it just paints across this canvas that you just scroll down, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a really good experience reading it too.
Did you ever watch Tower of God?
Yeah, I did.
Is it good?
Yeah.
Is it okay?
Yeah, it's also a webtoon based off of manhwa, Korean manhwa.
Heard of that one. That one's not good though. The art style is not the greatest.
Yeah, it's a little rough, I guess. It can look a little rough. I think it's fine. You know, it's nothing. I wouldn't say it's bad or anything. But of course, I guess I have a higher tolerance for that kind of shit because I watched Ruby Volume 1 and 2 and didn't really bat an eye too much with it.
Yeah,
but that shit is rough.
That's rough. But so Tower of God is good.
Yeah, I like Tower God.
Okay, Kaiju number 8 just came out.
Yeah, so that, honestly, that episode, it's very much a setup episode. So the first one, I don't think it like necessarily hooks you with like intense action right off the bat or anything crazy. But it sets everything up, and I think it did a really good job of like telling, like setting the world and setting the stage for the story to happen. But yeah, I thought it was good. I liked it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, cool.
It was a good experience.
I didn't check it out. Like I said, I think we're doing another Chainsaw Man, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they announced a season 2 of Chainsaw Man. I don't know when it's coming out. We're getting season 2 of Shangri-La Frontier in the fall as well.
Really?
Yeah.
I do know that next week, or this coming week actually, we are getting a, what's the name of it? Spy Family movie?
Yeah, Spy Family movie coming out.
That should be fun.
Yep. I should need to get caught up on the second season. I didn't finish it.
I love it though still.
Yeah, it's really good. It's
just a fun time. It's different. Man.
Yeah. But you know, it's like kind of like the slice of life. It's just fun. You know, we're just having fun.
Yeah, with that being said, let's get out of here.
Let's
I'm
do
tired.
It.
I got shit to do today, as Stone knows already.
Yo.
With that being said, Stone, recommend a game?
Recommend a game. What do I want to pull out of my back pocket to recommend? I guess I'll recommend Helldivers.
Helldivers?
Yeah. Join the fight.
Join the fight. Helldivers 2.
Support democracy and Super Earth.
Perry. What's the name of it, Perry? What game do you want to recommend? What are you playing right now? I haven't played it yet, but it's on my agenda. Alan Wake 2.
Oh, yeah.
Hear that? It's really, really good. You're going to watch this video that one of my friends sent me, so I can just watch it.
There you go.
Show of the week.
I'm going to say go check out Fallout. You know, that shit's good.
Fallout.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say check out Free Run.
Solid recommendations.
Well, guys, we will think it's always a pleasure rocking with you all, but we can get out of here now because we got shit to do.
That's right.
We love y'all. Stone's got a Curse of Strahd to play, I think, right? Curse of Strahd?
Yep.
And with that being said, I'm going to go check on a cat to see if he's still in the house.
Unless he magically disappeared again.
I swear, I thought that earlier, Stone. I was like, where the fuck did he go?
I saw him whenever I was walking back to my room earlier, so.
And I was like, no, I did that. I walked downstairs, like, where the fuck did this cat go again?
He got a fuck ton of litter down in the dining room, too, but I don't know.
That was me. I was just cleaning out his litter box.
Okay. I was like, there's so much fucking cat litter out here. What the fuck?
My bad. That's my fault.
Nah, it's okay. I sucked it up earlier, so, I mean, probably need to do a more thorough job. I just kind of got the highlights, but. I'll be alright.
Yeah, that was just me. Like, I was like, well, he hasn't been here for a while, so let me clean out his litter box and things like that.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things, like, where you can shake it out and just get the poop out, that kind of thing. It's automated kind of thing. Anyways, we'll talk to y'all here. Love ya. Bye.